If you do not have a significant portion of your dentistry financed, that tells you that you do mainly insurance, bread and butter, straightforward dentistry.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. I hope you're having a great day, great night, great morning, whatever you're doing. Thanks for tuning in. Doesn't go unnoticed. Thanks for the messages. Thanks for the love. I'm a words of affirmation guy. Just to put it out there in the existence, you want to make me feel good? Give me some words of affirmation. Text me, slide in my DMs. You know what's up. Anyways, today we're going to follow up. We've had some good discussion on kind of the new reality of like how I would prefer to set up my practice, in a sense of how I would get patient acquisition, treatment plan, the type of dentistry I would do. And this conversation that I want to talk about comes off of last week. We had our 3D treatment planning course, and it's one of my favorite courses that we have at 3D Dentist. I think it's a great entry point into our ecosystem. So if you haven't, I'll talk a little bit about it. But so if you haven't done a 3D course, I think it's a good one to get going in. But really, the idea is that if you want different outcomes, then you have to do things differently than you're currently doing them. So that's kind of what I want to expound on. So we'll talk about that today. But yeah, as always, podcast is sponsored by 3D Dentist, which is like me sponsoring my own podcast, which is basically just getting to advertise things that I want to advertise. So hey, check us out, 3D-dentist.com. Really cool thing that's happening. We now have an app. That's right. So I want to take this time to talk about the app a little bit. It's, if you go to the app store, 3D Dentist, just search it. I think it's called 3D Pro on the app store. It's going to have our logo, 3D Dentist, on it. And yeah, download the app. You can register right there. And there's a free section that basically has a spot where you can ask questions, post. We've been kind of releasing the app in layers to all the people that have been through courses and whatnot. But the app is a great place for you to kind of just stay in touch, stay engaged. And then we're going to be continuing to post content. And then it also has access to all of our online courses within the app. So you can literally watch them, view them from the app, share them with your team, that sort of thing. So check out the app, go register, sign up. The app is free, by the way. Did I mention that? Free app. And yeah, 3D Dentist app. So I've gotten some messages. You know, one of them was funny. It's a buddy from dental school who's a couple years younger than me. And I had recently talked about how, you know, we're a big proponent of one doctor, one chair. And he had posted on Instagram and was like, well, that's kind of ludicrous. Like, no doctor should be limited to one chair. And so I wanted to kind of redefine that conversation in light of 3D treatment planning and in light of this idea that if you want different outcomes, you have to have different results. Now, and one, another comment that I got, Lee had made was that he goes, it sounds like basically what you're doing is you're redefining a little bit of the way that you build out or grow the practice. And I think that's a good perspective on this, is that those of you listening who currently practice dentistry, most of you are successful. Those of you that are, you know, maybe dental students are still trying to graduate, like you're trying to figure out what's the best path. But what we know is that historically, that if you practice in a traditional sense, meaning that I run multiple chairs, I do good bread and butter dentistry, that you're going to have a very successful career. So, and most of you that are already practicing, like you do that well. So, you know, the question I always ask is, what problem am I trying to solve? If I'm just trying to do more of what I'm doing, then I would argue that you shouldn't change. Like if you're having success and you're happy with that success, then that's the way to do it. My argument or my discussion is that if you want to do things differently, if you want to grow to doing more comprehensive type cases, like 3D treatment planning, the course is really about seeing, realizing, and learning how to communicate and understand and diagnose multiple disciplinary complex treatment planning that typically revolves around aesthetics. Meaning we're going beyond dental school dentistry being single tooth dentistry, maybe quadrants, where we're primarily dealing with cavities and gum disease. Because that's at the extent of what, you know, most of us treat on a day in and day out basis is cavities and gum disease. Now, you will get the occasional aesthetic low-hanging fruit, meaning you doing a set of veneers or a set of 8 crowns once or twice a year isn't you doing that type of dentistry. That no offense, but that shit kind of fell into your lap. Someone walked in, they said, hey, I want to do this, you're my dentist, and then we do that. If you truly want to be living in that comprehensive world where I'm doing that kind of dentistry week in, week out, day in, day out, that requires a different set of rules that you play with. You can't keep doing what you're currently doing, diagnosing, communicating, and whatnot in the realm of that, and then expect different results. That would be crazy. So the two areas that really we focus on in 3D treatment planning is aesthetics and then functional occlusion, because now all of a sudden we're going beyond quadrants and single teeth where we're looking at cavities and gum disease, and now we're starting to say, hey, if I can move all the teeth around, where can I optimize them relative to the face? How can I improve the aesthetics? And then how do I do that in a way that functionally works? Like basically getting into, you know, an advanced form, more advanced conversation around occlusion and how do we predictably treatment plan and then execute larger cases. And the problem with that is to do larger cases, well, guess what? Those cases require different planning. And so, you know, our fundamentals at 3D Dentist are four things: diagnosis, communication, financial arrangements, and priority scheduling. And the way I started the course was I really talked about how if you want different results, then you have to look at the fundamentals through a different lens. So let me give you some examples of this. Most of you currently don't have a problem selling single teeth, meaning patient has a broken tooth, they need a crown. Most of you, you tell a patient that, they say yes to it. So taking a picture of every tooth that's like that isn't something that you need to do. So your diagnosis there is just either looking in the mouth and talking to them about it. Maybe it's that you take an intraoral image and then that helps convey it, or you take a bite wing x-ray or a PA and that helps convey it as well. So your set of diagnostic tools are your kind of basic dental school dentistry things, bite wings, PAs, like standard x-rays, and then maybe an intraoral camera. That closes that dentistry well. So if we just take it to, okay, well, now I want to do more veneer cases, cosmetic veneer cases. Well, the diagnostic tool there has to change. The fundamental of doing bi-wings, PAs, and intraoral images isn't going to sell or close those type of cases. So now all of a sudden, the way that I diagnose changes, meaning now I'm taking portrait photos on all my patients. It's a nuance to the fundamental, but it's a different way. So if you tell me, hey, well, I want to do more of these cases, then what I'll tell you is you got to start doing things differently. Like that is really the core of like what the messaging is. So the reason that we run one doctor out of one chair is because you can't do the type of dentistry we're doing running multiple chairs. It doesn't work like that. How in the world can you sit down and have multiple conversations with patients a day presenting larger cases and then still have time to go back and run this and there? How do you go into a hygiene room and close the $15,000 case and know how to see that and do that and then go run back and run multiple chairs? Like, it just doesn't work. It works really well if you just keep doing the same type of dentistry that you're doing. But when it comes into complex presentation, that requires different diagnostics. So that means that maybe your hygiene appointments need to be longer. A 45-minute hygiene appointment isn't going to allow you to take photos, digital impressions, get all these records that are different than what currently works to run your general practice. Let's talk about communication. It's a fundamental, but the communication has to change because the way that you communicate getting a patient to say yes to one or two teeth is very different than how you get them to be interested or talk about, you know, global dentistry or multidisciplinary dentistry. You may not even know how to communicate it because you don't know even how to see it or how to do it. Like, you may notice it, but you don't know what the treatment is. So that becomes problematic. You know, financials obviously becomes a big play in this. And now all of a sudden I got to, and then going back to communication, like for me, communication is really a piece of communication also lays into how are you going to communicate that in those short hygiene visits? So then the necessity to doing things differently when it comes to larger cases on a communication side of things is going to be bringing those patients back to where you actually have the time to communicate with them. And that requires a chair. It requires a treatment coordinator. You know, a dedicated treatment coordinator is something that we mention a good bout, and it's something that we preach very highly with the doctors we work with. And you don't need a dedicated treatment coordinator when you're just doing bread and butter dentistry. And I shouldn't even say bread and butter dentistry. Like, it can go up to single implants. It can go up to, but if you're staying within a realm of below $10,000 and what it takes to get the dentistry done, you typically don't need a dedicated treatment coordinator. So again, if you treatment plan in one way, you get these results. If I treatment plan another way, I get different results. And then the way that I schedule, the way that my room of practice is all going to be different. So part of this goes back to, it's hard for people to hear me or hear someone else or get on Facebook and get advice, because the goals of what you want and how you enter practice should have an impact and the influence on the way that you practice. And so, like, I preach, and, you know, we at Three Dentists talk about a pretty different model because we're trying to get different results. And I think that has got to be the core theme of the conversation, is that, like, I'm not saying that what you're doing is wrong, because I don't think it is. I think it's working. What I'm saying is that if you want to do things differently, you're going to have to change the way that you do things. That, to me, is kind of the overarching message. And then what you should have to do then is you should go essentially reverse engineer it and say, well, okay, I would like to do 5 cosmetic cases a week. Well, then you got to say, okay, well, where do I even have the space on my schedule to do 5 cosmetic cases a week? Because when you're doing a big cosmetic case, I can't be running multiple columns. Like, I don't need it financially. I'm prepping a massive case here. I don't want to go run around, and then my focus doesn't need to change. Like, I need to do this really well. So do I even have the space to do that? If I'm going to close that many cases and schedule that many cases, do I have the financial arrangements to make that type of dentistry affordable to more people? And the answer is, like, for most of us, it's probably not. You probably don't have a lot of financing. And, like, what I'll tell you is that you can take a really, really good internal look at your practice if you look at your financing. Hear me out on this. I think this is a really, really important principle. If you do not have a significant portion of your dentistry financed, that tells you that you do mainly insurance, bread and butter, straightforward dentistry. If you look at your collections from 2023 and you see that there was a significant portion financed, that should tell you that you're treatment planning and you're presenting dentistry in a comprehensive manner. And no one should be able to argue with me on this, because dentistry is expensive. Like, shoot, if you add a single implant, straightening teeth, 3 or 4 crowns, it's $10,000 to $15,000. Like, that type of treatment plan is not uncommon to the patients in your practice. Like, if you started critically looking at every patient saying, what all could they do? I'm not saying they want to do it, just what all could they do? You would realize that, holy cow, there is a lot of dentistry to do, and that dentistry is very expensive. And so if I look and see that of my collections last year, let's say I did $1 million in dentistry, $1.5 million, and $1.4 million of that was paid by, you know, let me do percentage-wise, that's easier math for the millennial me, and probably you listening. Let's say that if my collections, less than 5% of that is financed, which is where most of you will be, by the way, then what I'm telling you is you're underperforming, respectfully. And you have so much more opportunity. You don't need to go market to get these patients. They're in you're just not making it affordable. Or you're convinced that they won't pay for it because you haven't made it affordable because of the options you have. And so therefore you don't present it. Or we present it in a 1-2 that we'll do this crown this year, this crown next year's insurance, et cetera. So I think a data point for you to go off of that is a somewhat of like a peel back the onion, peel back the curtain, that will, again, if you look at it unemotionally, because most of us are going to give excuses on why it is the way it is, but, or you're going to say, like, I'm in a different area. Like, you're going to be in the whole area bullshit, when it's like, I guarantee you, we've worked with a client and from the richest of rich areas to the poorest of poor areas to the rural of rural areas to the dense of dense areas. The way people buy is the same way. Look at the daggum world. We talked about this in the last couple of episodes. Like, affordability matters more than the cost of the price. Like, affordability matters. It'd be very difficult to go look at a car dealership and see that they had less than 5% financing. It'd probably be a shitty, they had a shitty year. So again, if you want to do things differently, if you want different outcomes, you have to do things differently. The next part of this is going to be, after financing, is then like, okay, well, some of these people aren't going to get approved, so now I got to have at-bats. Or understand that I got to communicate it to more people because most people won't say yes. This is why we talk about a 3D dentist that we don't want high case acceptance. We don't want high case acceptance. Because if you have high case acceptance, what that means is you're probably not presenting enough. Now, I want case acceptance. I want a high case acceptance to them doing something. But what it really means is I want them having a low, I need to have a low case acceptance of people doing everything. Meaning if every single patient I say, I present dentistry to, they say yes to all of it, I'm most likely not seeing or presenting all the dentistry that is there to be done. Because most people won't want to do it. Shoot, you don't want to do it. Think about it yourself. Like, I'll take me for example. I have number 10, it's kind of pushed back. I would benefit, or there would, or an option for me would to do ortho, but I haven't done it. I'm an example of a patient that if you present it to me, I could benefit from it, but I wouldn't do it. Most patients won't say yes. So therefore, I have to understand that my case acceptance is going to be lower. Now, I can't stop presenting it because then I miss out the opportunity. So what you need to expect, or what are what the role, the goal that we call it is the 95-5 rule. I want 5% of people to say yes to everything on the treatment plan. And then the reality is 95% I want to say yes to something. So I want 100% case acceptance. I just want to redefine what that looks like. I want a lower case acceptance on the majority of it because I would rather get 5% of, you know, a really high number of dentistry presented than 100% of a lower number of dentistry presented. So to me, those kind of, that plays in a role. Now, I want to wrap this up because I don't want to go too long, but I think the interesting point here is that, and I thought of this in a conversation this morning, our goal for coaching most doctors is that you build your base to support you as the owner doctor, or to support the dentist in the practice that you want to support, doing relatively what's gotten you here. Your general, the way you run your general practice really doesn't change that much. What has to change is then how you build the next part of your business. And that to me is the important part. Now it will require modifications to the general practice because you just have to have, you have to change the way that you do things to get you more time back. But my point is that I don't want you to just naturally just overhaul everything that you've gotten. I want you to take slow steps and slowly start swapping out less productive things for more productive things. And I want you to focus more on your startup within your business or your multidisciplinary, comprehensive, whatever it is that you want to do more of. Like if you want to do more cosmetics, it's that. If it's more implants, it's that. If it's more sleep, it's that. If it's more ortho, it's that. Whatever it is that you want to do more of, I want you to start to think about how you need to run that part of the practice different than you've run the rest of the practice. And to me, that is how you get different results. And if you go poll all the people that you look at on social media that you're like, man, they're successful, or they do this, or I want to be like Appa when it comes to cosmetics, or I want to be like this person when it comes to ortho, or I want to be like this one when it comes to implants. I want to be like Payray when it comes to implants. What I can tell you is those people do things differently. And if you really got down to sit with those people, what they would tell you is yes, they've learned the clinical skill, but I guarantee you what all of them would say is that the clinical skill is not the separator. Because every single one of you can go learn the clinical skill and then you don't put out what they put out as far as quantity, quality, what they do. And so what I'll tell you is the common denominator between all those people that are successful is they do things differently. So my message to you is to start to look at where can I make changes to do things differently and to get the results that I want to get. You got to reverse engineer. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I just loving it. Summertime, life's good. Anyways, y'all work smarter and harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.